When you turn the ignition key in your car, you just expect the engine to start.
Right, yeah, you don't really think about it.
Exactly. I mean, you don't pause to interrogate the metallurgical integrity of the spark plugs or wonder if the factory worker who installed the fuel line had some sort of malicious agenda.
Yeah, that would be exhausting.
It really would. You just trust the system, you trust the supply chain. But today, we are taking a deep dive into what happens when that exact trust is weaponized.
And it is happening a lot lately.
Right. We're looking at what happens when the fundamental building blocks of AI applications, the default settings of massive platforms like Google Cloud, and even the basic plugins running millions of websites are all just quietly turned against you.
It's a genuinely terrifying shift in the modern threat landscape, honestly, because, we're moving entirely away from attackers trying to just smash their way through the reinforced front door of a network.
Yeah, the brute force stuff.
Exactly. Instead, we're watching them quietly poison the well before the water is even drawn, if that makes sense. It's really all about subverting the automated systems we rely on to do our jobs.
Okay, let's unpack this because while we're looking at three seemingly distinct cybersecurity stories today, they really do connect. We've got a massive software supply chain attack in the AI space, a really urgent CISA warning about a vulnerability tearing through web content managers, and this fascinating report from Palo Alto Networks about hijacking machine learning models in the cloud.
Right, they sound different on the surface.
They do. But they actually weave together into a singular urgent lesson about, the dangers of automation and the assumptions we make every single day.
They absolutely do. I mean, the common thread running through all of this is our relentless pursuit of velocity. In our rush to build faster, deploy quicker, and just automate everything from code updates to cloud storage, we've basically created these massive systemic blind spots.
So let's start with those foundational building blocks. Our first story takes us into the NPM ecosystem. And for anyone listening who might not be deep in the developer weeds, NPM is basically this massive public library of pre-written JavaScript code.
Yeah, developers use it so they don't have to reinvent the wheel every single time they build an app.
Right. And the target here was a very popular framework called Mastra, which is heavily used for building AI applications. Over 140 packages in the Mastra namespace, that's the @Mastra/whatever, were suddenly compromised.
Yeah, and the precision of this operation is what really stands out to me. On June 17th, 2026, within a window of just 88 minutes, an attacker mass-published malicious updates across that entire Mastra scope.
Wow, just over an hour.
Right. But the crazy thing is, they didn't hack Mastra's core infrastructure or servers to pull this off. They just found an open window. They hijacked the account of a legitimate former contributor, this user, Ahindero, whose access had simply never been revoked by the project administrators.
Let me stop you there, though. Because if the attacker hijacked an account that had direct access to Mastra, why didn't they just inject the malware straight into Mastra's core code? Like, why go through the trouble of adding a brand new dependency?
You mean the EasyDay.js library?
Yeah, which is what actually contained the malicious payload, right? Why do that?
Well, what's fascinating here is the psychology of code review. I mean, think about it. If you suddenly inject 500 lines of malicious, totally obfuscated code directly into the core files of a major project like
But
Mastra,
people are going to notice.
exactly. The other developers are going to see it. The automated scanning tools will definitely catch it, but developers add new dependencies all the time. By making Mastra rely on this new library, this EasyDay.js, the core Mastra code still looks perfectly clean.
Right, because the malware is hidden in the new room they just built, basically.
Right.
Yep. And the attacker actually published EasyDay.js the day before under a completely different account, Sergey2016. At first, it was perfectly clean. It was just a functional clone of a really popular date and time library.
Oh, that's sneaky.
It is. But the moment the master packages were updated to require it, the attacker flipped the switch and updated EasyDay.js with the real payload.
That is incredibly stealthy. And the payload itself takes advantage of another automated feature developers love, which is the post-install hook. I mean, I always find these terrifying.
Oh, they are.
Basically, the moment you run the command to install Mastra, this hook automatically fires off a script before you even know what's happening. In this case, it disables security certificate checks like TLS validation and silently reaches out to a rogue server at, I think it was 23.254 and 164.92 to download a second stage attack.
And that second stage is designed for maximum persistence. It runs as what we call a detached background process.
Meaning what exactly? For the listener who might be dealing with an infected machine.
Right. It basically means it spawns a ghost process. Even if a developer realizes something is wrong a few minutes later, panics, and uninstalls the master package, well, it's too late.
The damage is done.
Yeah. The malicious process has already separated itself from the installation tree. It's running independently in the background. It even actively erases its own forensic trail from the hard drive as it runs.
And it leaves behind an information stealer that works on Windows, Mac, Linux, across the board. It targets over 160 different cryptocurrency wallets, scrapes your browser history, and sets up a persistent beacon out to a C2 server.
Right, totally compromising the machine.
But I'm stuck on how this got through in the first place. Mm. This is like ordering parts for a high-tech security system from a trusted factory. But a rogue worker on the assembly line slips a tiny microphone into every single box.
That's a great way to put it.
I mean, if Master is so high profile, sitting right at the intersection of AI and cloud, why didn't Sysinfo flag this? Don't they have cryptographic security protocols?
They do, yeah. They use something called SLSA provenance. Think of SLSA as essentially a digital wax seal of authenticity.
Like a tamper evidence seal on a medicine bottle.
Exactly. It's a cryptographic signature that proves the software was built in the official lockdown environment, followed all the correct rules, and hasn't been tampered with. And Mastra was actually doing things right on their end. They generated these wax seals automatically on their official publishing pipeline.
Okay, so where did it break down?
Here is the critical failure. They did not configure the NPM registry to require those seals for a package to be accepted. Because the attacker used a personal access token from that hijacked eHindero account, the system just dropped the provenance requirement.
Wait, really?
Yeah. The registry basically said, hey, we prefer the wax seal, but if you show up without it, we'll still put the bottle on the shelf.
Oh, wow. So the metric was generated, but the policy wasn't enforced. Which means any environment, any developer laptop, any automated build server that pulled down those master versions during that 88-minute window is potentially compromised at the exact moment of installation.
Yes, exactly. Even if you never actually ran the AI application you were building, just the act of downloading the building blocks executed the malware, you have to assume total compromise of that machine.
That is wild. Okay, so we just saw attackers sneaking malicious code into the foundational building blocks of an app. But sometimes they don't need a Trojan horse. Sometimes the extensions we plug into our websites just leave the front door wide open.
Right, shifting gears a bit.
Yeah, so let's look at what's happening on the web right now. The U.S. Cybersecurity and Infrastructure Security Agency, CISA, just dropped a maximum severity warning added to their KEV catalog. We're talking a CVSS score of 10.0 out of 10.
Yeah, a 10.0 score means the house is on fire and the fire doors are just propped open.
Totally. It's for CVE-2026-48907, a vulnerability tearing through Joomla environments. Specifically, the Widget Factory Joomla Content Editor, or JCE.
Which is a massively popular extension. And the mechanism here isn't some highly sophisticated multi-stage cryptography bypass. It's shockingly simple. It affects versions 1.0.0 all the way through 2.9.99.4.
And what exactly does it do?
Well, unauthenticated users, meaning absolutely anyone on the internet who doesn't even have a password, can simply ask the extension to create an editor profile for them. And due to improper access controls, the extension just does it.
Just hands over an editor profile to a stranger.
Yep. And once you have that editor profile, the system trusts you to upload content. So attackers are using this to upload arbitrary PHP code, which then executes on the server to establish what's known as a web shell.
For those who might not be super familiar with the term, can you explain how a web shell fundamentally changes the security of a server?
Sure. So think of a web shell as a remote control panel that the attacker installs, hidden inside your website's files. Normally, you'd manage your server through a secure login portal, right?
Right.
A web shell bypasses all of that. It gives the attacker a permanent hidden backdoor where they can read your private databases, modify your source code, steal customer data, drop persistent backdoors, or even launch attacks against other networks using your server.
And the most alarming part is that these Joomla attacks are entirely automated. There isn't a human typing commands. Bots are just scanning the entire internet, identifying vulnerable Joomla sites, and dropping web shells in milliseconds.
It's basically an automated land grab, and we are seeing parallel nightmares over in the WordPress ecosystem right now, too.
Yeah, the SANSAC report.
Exactly. Researchers are tracking supply chain attacks, hitting sites that use really common plugins like OptinMonster, TrustPulse, and PushEngage to drop backdoors.
Right, but here's where it gets really interesting. There's another campaign out there right now, run by a Turkish-speaking threat actor, that is doing something I find absolutely terrifying for site owners.
The fake plugin one, right?
Yeah. They're using a fake SEO plugin called Beloved PBN Integrationu for SEO monetization and injecting hidden backlinks. But instead of dropping their web shell files into a folder on the server like a normal attacker, they are staging the executable PHP code as raw data inside the WordPress database. They're actually hiding two PHP web shells inside the WP Post database records.
Man, that is a masterclass in evasion. Because think about how typical security software works. Traditional file system scans are like night watchmen, walking the halls of a building, checking the physical rooms, right? Checking the folders and files on your hard drive. They look for new PHP files that shouldn't be there.
Right, checking the obvious spots.
But a database is just a giant, structured spreadsheet of text. It's where the actual words of your blog posts and your page content live. The file scanners don't read the individual rows of the database. So by storing the malicious code as a text entry in the database, the attacker becomes entirely invisible to the night watchman. When a visitor loads the infected page, the content management system just pulls that text from the database and executes it on the fly.
Wait, so patching the Joomla or WordPress software is like changing the locks on your house.
Yeah.
But the burglar is already living inside your database. How do you even evict them?
This raises an important question about the limits of just clicking update. Like, yes, federal agencies are mandated to patch Joomla JCE to version 2.9.99.5 by June 19th. That's critical.
But it's not enough.
No. Closing the entry point does not clean a compromised site. Changing the front door locks doesn't evict the burglar. The update process does not magically hunt down and delete their hidden web shells.
So what do you do?
Web administrators have to actively audit their server access logs. You're looking for requests to the profile import task. I think it's index.php.option.comjcn.task.profiles.import. And you have to actively hunt for these database resident payloads that allow unrestricted read-write access.
You really have to assume breach. Okay, so we've gone from trusting hijacked developer accounts in NPM to trusting vulnerable plugins on the web. But what happens when the vulnerability isn't a flaw in the code, but a flaw in our trust of a massive cloud platform's default settings?
Yeah, that brings us to Google Cloud and a vulnerability the Palo Alto Unit 42 researchers are calling Pickle in the Middle.
Great name.
It really is. This targets the Google Cloud Vertex AI SDK for Python. And for context, Vertex AI is Google's flagship enterprise-grade machine learning platform.
Right. So if you're building AI models on Google Cloud, you're almost certainly using this SDK.
Absolutely. And the researchers found a flaw where an attacker with absolutely zero access to your project, no stolen credentials, nothing could hijack your machine learning model while you were uploading it, and then run their own code inside Google's serving infrastructure.
How is that even possible without credentials?
It exploits a concept called bucket squatting. So when a developer uses the SDK to upload a new AI model, they are supposed to explicitly tell the system which cloud storage bucket to put it in.
But let's be real, developers are often in a hurry.
Right. So if they leave that field blank, the SDK tries to be helpful. It automatically generates a predictable temporary bucket name based on your project ID and the region, something like Project Vertex Staging Region.
But in cloud environments, bucket names have to be globally unique, right? Two different companies can't have a bucket with the exact same name.
Precisely. And that global uniqueness is the fatal flaw here. Because the temporary name was generated using a predictable formula, an attacker who just knows your public project ID can easily calculate exactly what that bucket name is going to be.
Oh, I see where this is going.
Yeah, the attacker goes into their own separate Google Cloud project and they create that specific bucket first.
It's like a valet service where the valet just yells out your license plate number to a crowded street and whoever shouts, "That's me," first just gets the keys.
Exactly. When your SDK attempts to upload your model, it checks if the bucket exists. The bucket does exist. The attacker just made it. But the SDK crucially failed to verify who owned the bucket. So your system unwittingly uploads your highly valuable proprietary model straight into a storage container controlled by the attacker.
And once they have your model, they swap it out for a malicious one. The source notes they replace models saved with joblib or pickle. Now, I know pickle is a common format for saving Python objects, but could you break down why these files are so dangerous?
Sure. Many people assume a saved machine learning model is just a static data file, like a PDF. But a pickle file is actually a serialized object. Think of it less like a photograph of a cake and more like a detailed recipe with instructions on how to bake the cake from scratch.
Okay.
When Vertex AI loads that pickle file, it isn't just reading data. It's actively executing the instructions in the recipe to rebuild the Python object in memory.
So if the attacker swaps your model for their poison file, they're altering the recipe so that the server is instructed to build and execute malware.
Yes. And when Vertex AI blindly follows that recipe, it executes the attacker's code inside Google's highly privileged serving infrastructure. The payload immediately steals OAuth tokens to access TensorFlow weights, BigQuery data, and even GKE clusters.
That is devastating. But hold on, I've got a practical hurdle with this one. The source says the window between the victim uploading the file and Vertex AI trying to read it was only about 2.5 seconds. How can a human possibly see a file arrive, swap it out, and poison a model that fast?
If we connect this to the bigger picture, we realize humans aren't doing the swapping. It is pure automation. The attacker sets up a cloud function that is triggered the exact millisecond a file lands in their malicious bucket.
Wow.
Yeah, in the proof of concept tests, that automated function recognized the incoming file, generated the payload, and swapped the model in just 1.4 seconds.
1.4 seconds.
Yeah, it easily beat Vertex AI to the punch. Now, Google has patched this in SDK version 1.148.0 by adding strict bucket ownership verification.
Oh, good.
Yeah, after an initial fix using random UDODs in 1.144.0. But it's worth noting this is actually the second bucket squatting flaw in Vertex AI this year, following CVE 2026-2473.
So what does this all mean? Let's bring this down to the core actionable advice for you listening today. Number one, check your CI renders and audit your build environments for the Mastra and EasyDayJS packages.
Definitely.
Number two, patch Joomla JCE to version 2.9.995.5. But remember, the burglar in the database sweep your databases and logs for existing web shells.
You can't just patch and pray.
Exactly. And number three, update the Google Vertex AI SDK to 1.148.0 or later, and always, always explicitly set your staging buckets. Don't rely on defaults.
Those are the critical tactical fixes. But, you know, as we step back, I want you to consider the underlying velocity of everything we've talked about today.
It's staggering.
It really is. We are looking at a supply chain attack that successfully poisoned over 140 AI packages in just 88 minutes. We're looking at a cloud infrastructure race condition where a model was hijacked in 1.4 seconds. If threat actors are fully automating these attacks at speeds measured in milliseconds, we have to ask, are we rapidly approaching a threshold where human security teams are mathematically too slow to defend the perimeter? Are we going to be forced to hand the keys of our digital defense entirely over to AI?
Man, that is a heavy, provocative thought to leave on.
Yeah.
But you're right. The chain of trust is fragile, and it's being tested 1,000 times a second. Thank you for joining us on this deep dive. Stay secure out there. Verify your defaults, and we will catch you next time.